Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, parents often, when they're tucking in their children, wish them sweet dreams, hoping that they're going to have a quiet and restful night of sleep. We do that with our youngest. We pray for good dreams and guarding from scary, spooky, or haunted dreams, right? Because we know that there are those times when a child's rest is not quiet, and they get up. There are those times when children wake up in the middle of the night because they've had a nightmare. It's the way it can be sometimes. There can be dreams so sweet that you don't want to wake up from, and there can be nightmares so terrifying that you just can't get up fast enough. Well, there are also those real-life experiences that either seem too good to be true, that it must have been a dream, like a local football team going to the Rose Bowl, or so terrifying that you wish that it was something that you could wake up from. But see, here's the thing. Over all these dreams and over all these nightmares, Jesus is the Lord who reigns over them all. He is the one who uses them both for his purpose of salvation. So it is that we come to our gospel reading for today, where we remember the Holy Innocents, a day where dreams and nightmares are far too real. The dream of Joseph and the visit by the angel, and the nightmare of the parents whose children are killed, the hand of Herod, the king. We read that when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, the wise men, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. That what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The murderous King Herod, who killed members of his own family, who he thought threatened his reign, found out that there was a new king born. And he decided to do what was expedient and put to death this newborn king and secure his rule and reign. It was estimated that there were probably no more than 25 children in that region that were killed. And that number wasn't so significant that it was recorded by other historians like Josephus or Eusebius, but it was enough to be recorded by Matthew, who calls his readers to know that this event did not escape the Lord's knowledge. It was enough for the parents who lived in Bethlehem in those days, who were robbed of their children. It was a nightmare that they wished that they could wake up from, but instead it haunted them even during their waking hours. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's easy for us to doubt God's plan of salvation and to question why God allows evil to happen in our world. Sadly, we don't have to look very far to find examples of something that is evil in this world. The events in our own country, whether that be shootings in schools, or the less publicized killing of the unborn, right? It reminds us of how one person's action can create a living nightmare for others. To the one family or to the lives of many families and extending out even into whole communities. So here's the thing, we don't need to look to the headlines either. Our own lives are marked by experiences, less spectacular, less newsworthy, but terrifying and deeply hurtful nonetheless. It's easy to question whether the Lord is really the Lord over these nightmares, to ask, where is God in all of this? See, here's the thing. Jesus Christ is the Lord over the dreams and the nightmares. in the time of Herod the king, and even today. God in Christ Jesus is bringing about his plan of salvation for all people. Well, how can I be so sure about that? Well, because God was there in the midst of the dreams and the nightmares so that he could bring about his salvation. God in Christ Jesus was there as the angel warned Joseph in a dream to flee to Egypt so that this Lord's master plan of salvation might come to fruition. Now, this master plan of salvation had been unfolding for centuries as the Lord was demonstrating that he alone is the one who has the power to save. Years before Joseph was warned by an angel to flee to Egypt, his ancestor of the same name was given dreams. You remember him? Joseph was Israel's son, had dreams of his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. This Joseph, who wore a coat of many colors, who was sold by his jealous brothers and brought into the land of Egypt. Now, while his experience was more like a nightmare, the Lord used it even for the salvation of his people. For what Joseph's brothers intended for evil, the Lord redeemed it for good. For while he was in Egypt, the Lord provided for the Israelites in the midst of a severe famine. The Lord brought then the Israelites, the family of God, into Egypt, and there provided for all their needs. And then some 400 years after the Lord brought the Israelites into Egypt, the Lord called his son, Israel, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, in a wonderful exodus. Recall that during those times before the Exodus, the Israelites, they suffered under another king, a Pharaoh. He commanded all the Israelite males to be put to death, not just 25, but more. And he did that so that the threat of revolt would be lessened. And yet, even in the midst of this nightmare, the Lord's plan of salvation would not be thwarted. As Moses preached repentance and faith in the one true God, Pharaoh made life a living nightmare for God's people, until finally, out of Egypt, the Lord called his son. See, what was happening in the lives of the Holy Family was a fulfillment of what had happened in the past. What the people of Israel experienced collectively as a nation was now being experienced individually by Jesus, the true Son of God, the perfect Israel. You see, brothers and sisters, in Christ, in the midst of the nightmares, Jesus is there. Jesus has already lived it. He's already been there. He knows full well that there is weeping. He knows the pain of inconsolable grief. He knows that there is evil in this world. And he knows death, because he was there. This was part of the Father's master plan of salvation. God himself would become flesh and suffer the same effects of our sin as he himself would rescue and redeem us from it. Jesus was on an exodus. He passed through, not the Red Sea, but through the River Jordan, where he bore our sin and walked through the valley of the shadow of death to bring about the salvation of the whole world. You ask, where is Jesus in the midst of senseless death, evil, suffering, and the shedding of innocent blood? He's right there, in the midst of it, hanging on the cross as the perfect, innocent Son of God. At the cross, there is God dying for your salvation and for mine. At the cross, there is God suffering evil and death for you and for me. There on the cross, you will find God in Christ Jesus living out our worst nightmares. You know, when the women went to the tomb on the third day, and they found that the stone was rolled away, and And there was an angel there where they were expecting to find the body of Jesus. They must have thought they were dreaming. But this was no dream. Jesus was alive, risen, victorious over sin and death and the power of the devil. And from that point on, those who have hoped in Christ have been assured that though they may experience the nightmares of this sinful world, Christ is present with them. And because Christ lives and is victorious, the certain hope of the resurrection is not simply a dream that will fade with the dawning day, but it's a reality that will grow sweeter and more real as that day finally approaches. If we read in Revelation, we have this picture, this vision. It's almost dreamlike when we read it, but it will become more clear as the dawn breaks. The Apostle John wrote, "Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads, the baptized into Christ, marked with the sign of the cross on their foreheads and on their hearts. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is those who have not been defiled, who have not defiled themselves with women, for they were virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found. They were blameless." The holy innocents. But see, this vision is greater than just the holy innocents slaughtered at King Herod's rage. No, this is a vision, a picture, an image of the full number of those who are redeemed by Christ the crucified. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles multiplied by Jesus, the one true Son of God, who has redeemed for himself a new people. Now, this is more than a dream. It's a reality in Christ Jesus. For here's a vision of the redeemed from every tongue and tribe and nation, a vision of those who have lived through the nightmares of this world in faith to Christ. A vision that includes the holy innocents, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and Joseph down through the ages, to Mary and Joseph, to Paul, to Stephen, to all the martyrs, to all those who have died tragically but in faith in any school shooting, to you, to me. And that this vision that seems now only like a foggy dream will come into full focus when Christ our Lord, over the dreams and nightmares, comes again in the clouds in glory. We pray, come Lord Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who is the Lord of all.